Black Rifle Coffee Company set out on a mission to make the best cup of coffee that's ever hit your mug. And I think they've hit that mission straight on. Their dream has been to sell enough premium coffee to build a support network for veterans, first responders, and law enforcement. And thanks to your support, that dream has come true. Black Rifle Coffee is roasted by a veteran-led team of brilliant coffee graders who work tirelessly to roast and bag the highest quality coffee here in America. And the coffee is truly one of a kind and my favorite. Your support has helped Black Rifle Coffee Company expand their team of active duty service members, veterans, and veteran family members. And they were able to donate over 120,000 bags of coffee to veterans and first responders in 2022. Visit blackriflecoffee.com/Dana and use my code Dana at checkout for 20% off your purchase and your first coffee club order. That's blackriflecoffee.com/Dana. Use code Dana and also look for Black Rifle Coffee in grocery and convenience stores. Black Rifle Coffee, America's coffee.
And also, just as a bottom line question, what is your message to China, who's threatening retaliation for doing this today?
Well, my first message to China, there's no need for retaliation. But the one thing I would say to China, too, at no time, I am the Speaker of the House. There's no place that China is going to tell me and where I can go or who I can speak to, whether you be foe or whether you be friend. I'm not the general manager of the Houston Rockets. And the one thing I hope all countries see is that we're united in the same approach, together, on both sides. And we're going to speak with one voice when it comes to China or any others when we look at foreign policy. One of my goals as Speaker is to take away the things that become so partisan. Not everything has to be partisan. I respect people on the other side of the aisle that have a different philosophical...
Well, as long as they're not jackwagons about it, there's one thing to, you know... respect a different philosophical view, but then there's something else entirely to entertain the ideas of people who want to disarm you and make you somehow more of a soft target for the criminals that they enable and empower. Welcome to the program. Your lovable curmudgeon Dana Lash here with you to start off the top of this first hour this Thursday before the Easter weekend. And a lot of stuff domestically to get to, but I've been trying to divide everything up to make it easier for everybody to follow along. Sort of the biggest points, I think, things that you really need to be aware of in this ongoing sort of three-part destabilization scheme that the left has within the United States. And so focusing on, you know, American influence, American unity, the American economy, national security, which I think goes into all of this. National security, I don't even have as a fourth item because I think all of this affects national security. Anything that's destabilized affects national security. And so I was looking this morning. It's so weird because Emmanuel Macron, who is the president of France, is in China with the head of the EU, meeting Xi Jinping, and then everyone in France is rioting because they raised the retirement age from 62 to 64. They reformed pensions and all this stuff, and the French are not having it. And the French are very, very good at rioting. There's certain things they're really good at. Cheese, you know, some wines, champagne, which I learned how to say properly from Christopher Walken's SNL skit. And rioting. They're really good at rioting. Yeah. One of my favorite things that I ever learned about the French and riots were during the Grand Tour, watching Jeremy Clarkson and Richard Hammond and James May. And they were, Richard Hammond was just tickled pink. He was so excited because he was retelling the story of when they put up red light cameras. You know, when they put up red light cameras in the United States, we all bitched and moaned, right? They put up red light cameras in France. And the French tore down the whole dang like traffic pole and all over France. And they threw them in the streets and they burned down trash cans. I mean, it was crazy. I mean, they weren't riding over more government intervention. It's kind of interesting to see. Anyway, I say that because I was looking at the headlines this morning and it looked so weird to see them, all of these, this video of all of the French rioting over the pension reform. They took over a BlackRock office. Did you see that video, Kane?
No.
Oh, how did you not see that? This is like your favorite thing to talk about, kicking BlackRock in the beanies. Look on Twitter. Look France and then BlackRock. Look for it. Because they were setting things on fire. I mean, it looked like Armageddon outside of the BlackRock offices. And they were mad because BlackRock is involved in all this. It seems as though they're a little bit more economically aware than a lot of voters, I think, here in the United States. I don't say that as a put down. I say it because I don't know what it is. Why is that different? We're going to talk to Charles Payne here in a moment, coming up after headlines. And I'm going to ask him about this because they took over one of the offices. They stormed in and took over a whole BlackRock office in Paris. It's wild. And in here, what do we do? What do we do? I'm not saying go and burn stuff down. What are we doing here? Not that. I mean, I don't like BlackRock, but we're not doing that. Why are they so much? Why are they the ones who are madder about this than we are? It is wild. You can listen to the show, by the way, across the country, and you can also watch the simulcast, YouTube, Facebook, always a discussion going on over at YouTube and the channel 347 DirecTV. Now, what Juan is showing right now is the protesters. They were in the streets, and they've been, I mean, fires, flags. They're mad over pension reform, and they're angry over BlackRock's involvement as well. That's why they took over the BlackRock offices. All of that stuff. But this is going on. So this is going on in France. And Emmanuel Macron's is in China. Visiting with Xi Jinping. Hanging out. Down the street. You know. Same old thing. Okay, that's the 70s show thing. Anyway, but you get my point. It just seems a little tone deaf, doesn't it? It seems very, very tone deaf. And I just think if, you know, whenever somebody said it's a day in Y that ends in Y when the French are violently protesting something, but at least they're saying something. At least they're doing something. I don't know. Because I have a headline coming up that I wasn't going to touch on just yet, but Americans, it says, so it's Yahoo Finance. It says Americans are over the endless anxiety loop. Only the rich, remote workers, and Gen Zers actually care about the banking crisis, according to a new Harris poll. What? I can't believe I'm going to say this. Kane, I've never said this in the history of the show on anything. I really don't know exactly how to take myself. I don't agree with myself saying this totally, but I do. I can't believe I'm saying these words. We need to be a little bit more like the French here. I'm just saying, what happened? What is going on with this show?
Where am I?
Where it happened? But for real, though, they're very aware of this. I watched a video last night. It was a young man, and he was so mad. And I love angry French people. I love it when they get mad because the accent, I just assume that every word's an insult. And it's the only language that can sound, depending on tone and speed, either very sweet and romantic, or you are being insulted by the snottiest person on earth. It's one of the two. And they were sitting here going on and on and on about how, you know, all of the ways in which they are going to be affected. They knew exactly every single one of these steps taken by Macron's government, how that was going to affect them, how it was going to affect their business. They were very plugged in and very aware. Now, why is that? Why is it that they are angry? I mean, yes, they have a crazier higher tax rate. They've been revolting. It just seems like the fact that they've been out in the streets for quite some time about this. These riots have been going on for quite a long time. No one's talking about them, though. Have you noticed? They're not talking about it. So I want to kind of follow this a little bit because I'm fascinated because while this is going on, Emmanuel Macron is in China and he's hanging out and talking to Xi Jinping. They've been meeting. He was pressing up on him, trying to get China to back, to work a little bit more overtime and pulling Russia back in Ukraine. Now, by the way, speaking of China and France, because we've had all of these headlines about whether it's Russia now saying that they're going to be using Chinese currency for trade, business, et cetera, in Asia, Africa, Latin America. You also have, you had Brazil come out and say they're not going to recognize Taiwan as a sovereign entity. You've had, you know, the a bunch of other countries. I mean, the petrodollars being entirely destabilized. But here's, if you subscribe to my email newsletter, you got this last night. Guess who, the first European nation to do it. Guess who is the first European nation to begin the de-dollarization movement? France. This was yesterday. The era of de-dollarization, France is finally embracing it. The dominant position in international trade and finance, widely accepted for a long time with the U.S. dollar. But as tensions have risen, geopolitical uncertainties deepen, everyone is reassessing their reliance on the dollar and exploring alternative options. So France has embraced the yuan. They've taken a step towards it. Apparently, according to reports, Chinese and French energy companies have signed the first ever liquefied natural gas contract to be paid in Chinese currency. Now, the deal that involves 65,000 tons of LNG from the UAE represents a major development in Beijing's efforts to challenge the dollar's status as the world's petrodollar for the trade of gas and oil. Their push to establish, China's push to establish their currency as the prominent currency in trading energy and in energy trading has gained a lot of momentum. So China National Offshore Oil Company closed a deal with Total Energies. They've been promoting this. I mean, they want a more diversified ecology against the dollar. This is a major blow. And the news comes on the eve of Macron and the EU president, Ursula von der Leyen, on this three-day visit. And they're coming with a delegation of more than 50 French CEOs. And they're discussing bilateral cooperation with China. And this is a significant development because it shows that they are interested in embracing Chinese currency as an alternative. And this, remember, what country was it that we had yesterday and where they were and they said, Kane, that you can't rely on the dollar anymore with us?
Yeah, who was that?
That was in our headlines.
I want to say it was an African nation, but I'm gonna
major, major development. And we're going to talk to our friend Charles Payne on all of this, because think about this. I mean, one of the reasons that we were able to be a superpower in terms of, military might is because of the petrodollar, because of our currency, the strength of our currency. I mean, if it keeps going this rate, if we were to have any kind of, heaven forbid, conflict with China, we wouldn't be able to pay for it. That's what this all leads to. A lot to consider. So I have wokery coming up for you. A really stupid announcement in the presidential race. We're going to get into that. Oh, it's dumb. As colleges and universities across the country hold their graduations, I'd like to highlight a place where students receive the best classical liberal arts education in America. And when these students graduate, they've studied the great books, the history of Western civilization and of America, and the meaning and history of the Constitution. Can you guess who I'm talking about? I'm talking about Hillsdale College. Hillsdale was founded in 1844 to offer the kind of education needed to preserve civil and religious liberty, and holds true to that mission while refusing to accept one penny of taxpayer funding, not even indirectly, in the form of student grants and loans. Hillsdale students also abide by an honor code, which ensures a unity of purpose and fosters lively, civil, and intelligent debate. See for yourself and learn from Hillsdale for free through their influential Speech Digest in Primus and by taking online courses on American history, the Constitution, and other subjects. Find out more at dana4hillsdale.com. That's dana4hillsdale.com. Join the battle over education for our country's future today.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
So RFK is running for president. JFK's activist nephew has announced that he's going to challenge Biden for the Democrat nomination in 2024. It's never going to happen, but I do think it's kind of interesting. I like was going back and forth. I mean, because he's, I clearly don't agree with him pretty much on anything except really, you know, the coronavirus vaccine stuff. And he's been very vocal about it. He's going to be, I mean, he's kind of like a chaos agent, I guess, of sorts. I don't know. It's going to be kind of interesting to see if he gains any traction, because the Kennedy family are still like major players in Democrat politics. So I'm just curious as to whether or not that's going to what influence that's going to have. So we'll just kind of keep an eye on that. Also, as I was telling you, this is a, such an interesting story about this. Americans are over the endless anxiety loop. So this new study from the Harris Poll says only the rich, remote workers, and Gen Zers care about the banking crisis. Americans think their money's safe. They're more split regarding exactly just how secure the institutions are, though. So 9 in 10 respondents, this was over 2,000 Americans across the country of all ages, everything. They said 9 in 10 respondents said they felt their money was safe at their bank or credit union, regardless of its size. I don't know how I feel about that. Kane is just having a fit.
They were all holding up to the limit of the FDIC insurance stuff. Like, anybody holding more money than the FDIC insurance covers is not saying the same thing.
Yeah, it's true. Because it's, what, up to $250,000? Yeah. Is it backyard burying time? I'm thinking. You know, I'm just thinking. That's another question for Charles Payne. Also, a development in the East Palestine cleanup. So apparently they're saying that the cleanup is nearly complete. Surface water continues to improve as workers are forcing air into the water at Sulphur and Leslie runs to help break down chemicals. They said work continues to vacuum the water to remove contaminants. The Ohio EPA has a website featuring an interactive map that has that shows all of the sampling results, so you can see, you know, what they're doing and how effective that it has been. And then also, of course, as we were saying, we're talking about what was going on in Paris, but also dozens of rockets fired this morning, well, our morning, at Israel from Lebanon, as a continuation of tension increasing there. I mean, everything's just going to, you know. And we also told you too, talking about this last segment, how France now is the first European country to begin the de-dollarization movement, embracing Chinese currency. We have Charles Payne coming up, and we got a lot of questions for him. Like, is everything going to collapse and just go to hell in a handbasket? And also, why are the French angrier about all of what's coming with the economy than Americans are? Stay with us. Breathe life into your own backyard this spring with FastGrowingTrees.com. From shade trees to fresh fruit to privacy hedge plants, let FastGrowingTrees.com help you plant your dream garden with their expert advice and fast, reliable shipping. FastGrowingTrees.com's plant experts curate thousands of easy-to-grow plants, shrubs, and tree varieties for your unique climate. And they understand that sometimes it's hard to know which plants will do best. No problem. With FastGrowingTrees.com, you get customized recommendations based on your specific needs, and they're always available to help keep your plants growing healthy through every season. Their website is easy to use, and the shipping's fast. With FastGrowing Trees, 30-day alive and thrive guarantee, you know everything will look great fresh out of the box. So join over 1.5 million happy Fast Growing Trees customers. Visit FastGrowingTrees.com/Dana now and get 15% off your entire order. Get 15% off at FastGrowingTrees.com/Dana. That's FastGrowingTrees.com/Dana.
Listen to The Dana Show live on the Odyssey app. Weekdays, noon to 3 p.m. Eastern Time.
For the people who work numbers, I am giving you free advice that those of you who are holding dollars, you surely might go into losses. You better do what you must do, because this market is going to be different in a couple of weeks.
Wow.
And secondly, we, through the central bank, we are having conversations to reinstate the interbank exchange market that has since not worked.
A lot of bad signs for the dollar coming up. We played this audio yesterday. It's Kenya's president, William Ruto, saying that he's talking about the collapse of the dollar. and signaling that, I mean, he's one of some other, especially in the heels of Russia announcing they're going to be doing business with Chinese currency in Asia, Africa, Latin America. And then, of course, now we were just talking about how France is embracing this as well. You have Emmanuel Macron and the head of the EU meeting with Xi Jinping on a 3-day tour right now, currently. All of this bad, bad news as the petrodollar collapses. There's so much stuff to talk about because I think this, it's a national security issue. We're watching the French. It's a day that ends in Y, so they're violently rioting about something. But this time, they're actually rioting. They took over a BlackRock office. They're angrier about what's coming economically than Americans are. And then, of course, our jobless numbers, our impending further recession. For all of this, whew, our really good friend, Charles Payne, host of Making Money with Charles Payne. You can watch weekdays 2 to 3 Eastern on Fox Business. He's so generous as to give us some of his time today. My friend, oh boy. So is it backyard burying time? Like, is everything going to collapse? Like, I'm wrapped up in tinfoil. I couldn't be wound tighter.
You know what? You got me over here sweating. You better brush up on your preservative skills, right? You need to figure out how to make it through the next winter, okay? Learn how to definitely do some field dressing, can some preservatives.
Yeah.
It's really ugly. It really, really is bad. And let's start with the at the top, because you talked about the dollar, and that's a topic that everyone's talking about these days. And I'm glad they are. It's something I've talked about for a long time. And to be quite frank with you, Dana, the only reason we're still the world's reserve currency is in part because all these other Western nations have actually gone down this socialism, hill long before we have. So none of those countries are in a position to take over. You know, I mean, they're giant welfare states. They have no innovation. If it wasn't for tourism, I don't know. I think they sink into the Atlantic Ocean, to be quite frank with you.
True.
So we've been looking at, look, you know, if you looked at the top 100 companies in the world right now in terms of innovation, I think you might find one European company on there, one. And that was the last time I looked. There was one, and it was a buy now, pay later company. And I know that their market cap went from $80 billion to like $30 billion. So they may not even be on the list anymore. But it's you know, America has been this unique place. You can come from anywhere in the world with an idea and ready to, you know, risk it, work hard, and you can make it. You know, we've always had that backdrop, and we're giving it away, and we've mortgaged it tremendously. And so it's natural that you start to say, well, you know, the dollar just can't maintain. And to your point, China's making moves. Now, China's got their own issues, right? I mean, it's a communist nation that would like to have it both ways. But China has increased its influence, particularly in the last 2 years, at lightning speed. The only thing moving faster than China right now is the growth of AI. I'm telling you. And so it's on a diplomatic front. It's on the economic front, to your point, cutting deals directly with the yuan. And so I'm actually starting my show today with this, and I've got three great guests because, for me, the dollar sort of got into this position over, there were three important dates in my mind. 1916, when our economy surpassed Great Britain. 1944, they had this big conference of all these countries called Bretton Woods, and that sort of made it official. And you referenced another one, 1973, when Saudi Arabia said we'd only sell oil in dollars. Well, if you start to sell oil and yuan and other currencies, guess what? You just knocked off one of the main pillars of the dollar's preeminence. So it's a legitimate question, and you could even argue it's a matter of time, not when, but not if it happens, but when it happens.
Yeah, and that's the scary thing. We're talking with our friend Charles Payne, host of Making Money with Charles Payne, which you can watch 2 to 3 Eastern on Fox Business. Because so France embracing this is incredibly significant, as we were just saying. They're over in, it's weird to see Emmanuel Macron in China meeting with Xi Jinping. And then we see all the French, Charles, rioting in the streets. Now, I know that's like one of their pastimes, as violent riots, but they took over a BlackRock office. Why are they? They're so much angrier than we are over this stuff.
They are. I mean, of course, they should be angry at BlackRock. I'm really surprised. You know, it's the BlackRock is the government, right? I mean, they have taken it all over. We just had a bailout 3-4 weeks ago, a billionaire bailout, Silicon Valley Bank. And it's so amazing that the Biden administration orchestrated it. The billionaire bailout. The top 10 accounts at $13 billion. $13 billion, the richest zip code in America. This is nuts. It's the venture capitalists, the hedge funds, the BlackRocks of the world. They always get the money. They always get the bailouts. It's nuts. Of course, we should be riding. That morning when they approved it, or that night, everybody should have ridden it. Not a run on the banks, but a run on this country saying, we've had enough. Enough. And I can't believe Democratic voters, progressives.
Yeah.
You talk all this crap about the rich. You want to bail out folks with college degrees, the most fortunate people in the country. You're okay with bailing out $100 billion to the richest people in the world. And by the way, a lot of those are Chinese accounts. So, the French obviously are upset. Now, part of their being upset is that, raising the retirement age 2 years is kind of like most Americans. Are you kidding me? 62 to 64? But the bottom line, though, is that they do have a sort of a sense and a sort of passion. We're that frog in a proverbial boiling water, right? They just keep turning up the heat on us. And we're like, every now and then they'll get us upset because of an angry tweet. But other than that, we're walking around without a pulse.
Exactly. And we're talking with Charles Payne. You had a very interesting tweet because I was looking at some of this other stuff, the proposed hike coming from the administration on corporations. This budget is very threatening to Main Street. You also were asking whether or not, and you included some receipts, it was morally okay, you tweeted, for the Federal Reserve to pay banks $291 billion a year not to lend money to Main Street.
How amazing is that? That's what they're doing right now. There's a couple of programs they have in there. And essentially, if you're a bank, you give the Federal Reserve money, they hold it overnight, and they give you the money back plus 4.9% interest. Think about that for a minute. Now, by the way, this program was always around and was dormant. And about a year and a half ago, it went from $0 to $2 trillion, right, to $2 billion. And I kept asking people, what the hell is this? Why won't, no one says anything? And then, of course, if you just keep your money with the bank, with the Federal Reserve, they'll give you 4.9%. And so we've got a bank run that started in part because interest rates went up, CDs went up, money markets went through the roof, and banks were saying, okay, give me your money and I'll give you 0.002. Now get this, they're going to give you 0.01 and they're getting 4.9% from the Federal Reserve. I mean, who's the sucker? People, of course, took their money out of banks, but should there be an entity created out of whole cloth with very little oversight, the ultimate bureaucracy that gets to do this? They get to deliberately crush the economy. And by the way, this week the evidence is mounting. They are crushing the economy. On Monday, one of the top Fed officials, Loretta Mester, said, we hope we don't break anything. Is she nuts? Does she hear? Listen, Loretta, the bones are cracking. Did you hear that Monday? That was manufacturing. That was the knee bone. Did you hear that Tuesday? That was the backbone. That was service economy. Did you hear it Wednesday? That was the jobs. That's the jolt support. Are you listening to it? Oh, initial jobless claims, they explode to the upside. The last 2 weeks were revised significantly higher. Does she hear the bones cracking? You don't want to break anything. You're crushing the economy.
Absolutely. And you note, too, continuing jobless claims are also mounting. I mean, as if we need, but you know what? Inflation's fine. Everything's okay. We don't have to worry about it. We can see all of this in front of us. I wanted to put this up. One last thing for you. I wanted to put this up against this headline that we had, we just had in our headline segment about how Americans, there was this Harris Poll survey. This scares me, Charles, because you note the jobless claims, you note the manufacturing, the service industry, the decline. The majority of 9 out of 10 respondents, it was a survey of over 2,000 Americans across the country. They felt that their money was safe at their bank or credit union, regardless of its size. They felt okay. And it was mainly the rich and Gen Zers. And remote workers are the only people that really care about the banking crisis, according to this poll. So maybe that's why we're not like the French with all of this.
Well, here's the thing. Most people are covered up to $250,000. That's why this is a crisis that they didn't have to be a crisis. President Biden made this a crisis.
Yeah.
Because when he went out there and gave this little speech that somehow bailing out billionaires gave the average American comfort, or should, because now small businesses can pay their payroll, he really, really conflated the and really ignored a fact that every account is covered for up to $250,000. By the way, the average account in America is $42,000. So the average person is covered. But what they and by the way, what the average person is doing is putting more money in the bank. One of the things that Main Street has done since over the last 4 months, we had our second lowest in savings rate ever. We have been saving money like crazy. People know. People are smart. People listening to this show, they know things right now that the Federal Reserve is going to find out 3 weeks from now, a month from now, because they hear the bones cracking. And so our savings rate has gone through the roof. People are starting to hunker down, and they know that people are getting pink slips, and they see what's coming. And then you add to it the stupid move with not refilling the oil supplies. Saudi Arabia caught President Biden flat-footed and took away the oil narrative. So everywhere across the board, there's dark clouds coming. People see it coming. And ironically, the last thing we really should have had was a banking scare / crisis. This was the last thing we should have had. They simply would have let Silicon Valley Bank go under. Every account with $250,000 or less would have been fully covered. This would have been a crisis of billionaires. They could have cried in there on their yachts about it and then come back and overcharge us for something later.
Yeah, I mean, that's, golly, one last quick, I lied, this is my last quick question, talking with our good friend Charles Payne, the FedNow system, real-time FedNow, latest from Forbes, expected to boost instant payments, but there's a lot of questions about, you know, how this is going to work, and, you know, with, especially as we were just talking about, with a lot of these failures, SVB, Pink, how people are covered, et cetera. I wanted to get your thoughts on this real quick.
It would be a mistake, you know, adjusted for inflation. When the last time they raised the level to $250,000, adjusted for inflation, it would have been like something like $50,000. I mean, we're well above it. It covers most Americans. Again, they would just be making a mountain out of a molehill. You know, there are other things. Listen, by the way, let's say you and your husband have $1 million in a bank, you can put a separate account. Single $250,000, you'd be covered. He'd have a separate account, $250,000 covered, and you'd have a joint account as a husband and wife at $500,000. That would be covered. So, you know, the average household, to say if an average household had $1 million in a bank, they would still find a way to be covered. This is all about deflecting the narrative, and the narrative is that we keep bailing out the richest people in the world by making the poorest people or the people who would like to come up, you know, the middle class and the poor are paying a heavy price for it once again.
Yours is always one of my favorite programs to watch. I actually make sure that I have it recorded so I can go back and I can watch it. And I, especially today, especially because you're starting out with all of this, our friend Charles Payne, host of Making Money with Charles Payne. You can watch him every single day, 2 to 3 Eastern on Fox Business. We so appreciate you working so hard all these years to educate everybody about all of this now that we see coming into play. Thank you, my friend.
Thank you. I appreciate it. Always.
Of course. If you're a bacon lover, today is your day. So whether alongside your eggs for breakfast, on a BLT, or wrapped around a filet, bacon is free for a year at Good Ranchers. Subscribe to get 24 ounces of Applewood smoked bacon added to each delicious box for a year. That's over $200 worth of bacon free. This is 100% American, high-quality bacon sourced from local farms with no added hormones or antibiotics. To subscribe, simply find your perfect box in the Good Ranchers curated selection of pasture-raised meat and wild-caught seafood. Select the frequency that works best for you and then enjoy fewer trips to the meat aisle and more flavor at dinner. As long as you stay subscribed, your price will never increase. That's the Good Ranchers price lock guarantee. Subscribe today at goodranchers.com for free bacon in every box for a year. Use code Dana to get an additional $20 off your first order. Get the best meat America has to offer. Visit goodranchers.com. That's goodranchers.com, code Dana. Good Ranchers, American meat delivered.
How much attention should you be giving the Hunter Biden investigation? Although it's not illegal, both sides of the aisle have been engaging in influence peddling for decades. The voters are ultimately responsible for electing these corrupt politicians. What can you as the voter do? Check out the Watchdog on Wall Street podcast on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcast.
Red meat, black coffee, truth telling. The Dana Show.
Like sands through the hourglass, so are the days of the United States.
Today, Indiana just banned puberty blockers, hormone therapies, and gender transition surgeries for minors. I'm wondering what the president's reaction is to the Indiana governor signing that bill into law, And does the president have a position on at what age these kinds of therapies and surgeries are appropriate?
That's something for a child and their parents to decide. It's not something we believe should be decided by legislators.
Yeah, their parents and a child and parents. That's what? Well, first off, welcome back to the program, Days of Our United States. Today's episode, KJP. Well, the parents and the child should be the one to decide if that. Well, what if the child wants to be, you know, like a flower, like I did when I was a little kid? Just wondering. Just go ahead and turn her arms into petals. I don't know. Just, you know. Something, yes.
To me, it just is like mentally ill parents will pass along their mental illness to their kids.
Mm-hmm.
That's exactly what is happening here.
Mm-hmm.
We can't, just the idea of minors, for you're not even done with puberty. You don't even have all of life's decisions or the experience in order to make those smart decisions. Yet, you're going to just let kids
mm-hmm.
mutilate themselves and irreversible procedures.
It reminded me, I've seen this video everywhere, but it's an Andy Griffith thing. And he was saying that, you know, there's a reason why parents are parents, because, you know, kids get, you know, they things that are often dangerous come wrapped up in nice packages. And you just don't let kids just jump in at the first shiny thing that they see. You know, he's like, you know, there could be like he compared it to like bait. You know, there's a hook in there. You know, you could get hurt. And that's the parent's job to intervene. It's the parent's job to intervene. You're being emotionally manipulated. This is psychological abuse. You're being emotionally manipulated into giving your kids up to, you know, this hedonistic, ridiculous movement. And to prove what? Why do so many parents think they have to prove something to society and use their kids as the sacrificial lamb to do it? I mean, sometimes I wonder, do you care about your own damn ego, or are you caring about your own popularity over the well-being of your children? Yeah. To hell with everyone else. These are your kids, and if you don't stand up for them, who will? We have a lot more on the way, a lot more where this comes from, including, man, will my stepdad stop drinking Bud Light now? I don't know. We all wonder. Stay with us. Americans have had it. They're done supporting companies that rake in hundreds of millions, sometimes billions of dollars, while trashing the country that made their success possible. Until recently, we had to take it. But companies like Patriot Mobile are building a whole new economy, one which embraces the values that made America the greatest country on earth. Patriot Mobile, America's only Christian conservative wireless provider, offers dependable nationwide coverage on all three major networks. Plus, they offer a coverage guarantee. If you're not happy with your coverage, you can switch to a different network for free without changing carriers. With Patriot Mobile, their 100% U.S.-based customer service team makes switching easy. Just visit patriotmobile.com/Dana or call them right now at 878-PATRIOT. Get free activation today using offer code Dana. We should stand together and support companies that share our values. patriotmobile.com/Dana or call 878-PATRIOT. That's patriotmobile.com/Dana or call 878-PATRIOT. Welcome to the program. Dana Lash here with you, your lovable curmudgeon. And you can watch the show, the simulcast of the radio show, Channel 347, on DirecTV. This video is terrifying me. You can listen to it all across the country, stream it on YouTube, Facebook, join the YouTube discussion. And so the video, first off, I'm trying to understand. I saw this last night. How many brands, because this is part of this three-pronged attack on the United States, Western civilization. So the other day we were talking about how this guy who makes a mockery of women, this Dylan Mulvaney, he gets the Bud Light sponsorship. Now Nike, they've partnered with him to sell sports bras. I'm not kidding you. And leggings. Sports bras and the leggings. First off, what the hell type of women is he around that he thinks women act like this?
Thank you.
Which sort of begs the question, I think he's making a mockery of women. No other woman, if I had a friend who acted like that, I'd be like, girl, what happened? Why did you accidentally, like, I don't know, did you accidentally take meth? What happened? No woman acts like this. No woman acts like this. Oh my, and he's like dancing around barefoot in a nasty ass backyard in with mud all over. Oh my gosh. Like, maybe you should pay attention to your yard instead of just like running around in leggings, for the love. But I'm just amazed at this, because apparently, so now he is, I guess, working with, oh my goodness, selling the Nike stuff, the leggings and the sports bras with Nike. I think that he's, you could sit here and say, well, Dana, he actually had facial surgery to look more feminine. Well, yeah, I mean, there are a lot of people who, you know, people in Hollywood who get surgery for like a, I don't know, so that they're more attractive for roles or something, don't they? Isn't that kind of how it goes? So I'm just shocked at this. There are a handful of companies now that are working with this dude. Bud Light was one of the latest. Nike's just one of the latest. And I'm looking at this. I mean, selling actual sports bras, for the love. Some of the other brands that have signed on to work with him include, well, you knew Ulta did, Bud Light, Crest Toothpaste, Kate Spade, Walmart? What? Don't make me have to not work with Walmart anymore. Come on. Because I think they're all making a mockery of this. Bud Light is sticking with him. The partnership with Nike was announced just the other day. It was a paid sponsorship by Nike. Nike Women was tagged. He posted it on his Instagram page. And he's wearing like their sport. It's a dude wearing a sports bra. That's the wrong thing. Oh, man. I mean, I don't care about saying something politically incorrect. I just don't want to be unladylike, you know, for the sake of being unladylike, Kane. But I was going to say that's not the thing that he needs to worry about bouncing. So just get that out there. Wait, here's the kicker. There's more. Tampax also partnered with him.
What?
Tampax partnered with him. Mm-hmm. So that, yeah, they apparently he kept saying that, oh no, he's never made technically like $1 from them or something. Not necessarily. Apparently, like, they had some kind of sponsorship thing or something. I think that they were, I mean, there were a whole list of, I mean, it's not just them, it was a whole bunch of what is it, Plaza Hotel, Stella McCartney, the Crest Toothpaste, what's the other one? Rent the Runway, Artesia, MAC. Well, MAC is like theater makeup, so, you know, that makes sense. Ole Henriksen, what else? A couple of others. Charlotte Tilbury. If you're working, though, I'm just going to say, like, if you, again, just going to make the point. If you are a dude and you're bleeding from your groin, you need a doctor and not Tampax.
It's true.
There's this account. It's OLI London TV. And I thought that they had a very good point that they made. They were talking about 10-time Olympic medalist Allyson Felix. Remember this? So back in 2018. Allyson Felix, 10-time Olympic medalist, model, Nike brand ambassador. Allyson Felix became pregnant. She then was offered a reduction, 70% less pay than her original contract with Nike. They gave her no guarantees of paying her if her performance as a brand ambassador declined during her pregnancy. They gave her no maternity, nothing. She left Nike. Now, I'm not arguing for companies to do this, but I do want to point out the hypocrisy of companies that demand stuff like this for women, and then they only roll out the red carpet for the men cosplaying as women. So she left Nike 2 years later, launched her own brand, Athleta. So I just think that's all of the women athletes that these companies could be working with. And who are they working with? None of them. This guy pretends to be a woman for a couple of years.
1 year.
1 year. And all of this, I mean, this is a grift. It is an absolute grift. I love it. Someone pointed out that he spent thousands of dollars on facial reconstructive surgery to look more like a woman, but didn't shave his neck beard. That's true, because he's literally in one video, one of his little videos, where he did not do that. I mean, like, see, it's just disappointing to see these brands fall all over like this. And the other part of it that I was thinking of, especially as it relates to like just basic things like beer, you know, beer and Walmart or random everyday products. Previously, before everything was made so politically tribal and ideologically tribal, didn't you feel as though there were some neutral areas where it didn't have to be weaponized the way that it is now? I mean, there were places of common ground, and I wrote about this a couple of years ago, this exact thing, these neutral areas. I wrote about all of this a couple of years ago. That there were these areas of common ground that could not be politicized. It could not be weaponized. It was just basic stuff. Like, you know, it's beer. Who gives a care if they know what they think about this issue or that issue? I have an entire chapter about common ground in Faith and Grace Canceled, my book. I wrote about how there were these areas of these neutral areas in this chapter that now the left is insistent upon weaponizing them. And not just neutral areas. They wanted to go, I mean, even after NFL and NASCAR, etc. One of my favorite quotes that I've ever heard about business and politics came from Michael Jordan, because everyone wanted Michael Jordan back when he came out with his Air Jordans. Everybody wanted him to get political. Everybody wanted him to be political. And people on the left assume that, you know, he would agree to it. And he refused. He was one of those rare athletes who never did it. And he said his answer when he was asked about this was, well, Republicans buy sneakers too. That is smart. It's just smart. And you know what? It is a tentpole of unity. It, by refusing to allow what you do in your area to be weaponized politically or ideologically, you are fighting to make sure that there is some sort of area of common ground where people of every different belief set, etc., can come together and find, oh, well, we agree on this one thing. Even if it's just that one thing, we agree on this one thing. Michael Jordan's like one of the best ever. He's the best to ever do it. He's the best. Everybody can agree. That was like a magical period for basketball. I was in elementary school, going into junior high. Everybody wanted to play basketball because of Michael Jordan. Everybody wanted to play basketball. Everybody wanted Air Jordans. Everybody wanted to wear this man's shoes. Everybody loved Chicago Bulls. Everyone wanted to wear that jersey. It did not matter if you were from the Ozarks or you were from the north side of St. Louis. Everybody wanted to play basketball. They wanted to be like Michael Jordan. Common ground. That's power. And now the left wants to neutralize all of that, every area. I mean, for the love of all things holy, Bud Light, Anheuser-Busch, they got bought out by InBev. Isn't that a Belgian company? Isn't InBev Belgian? So just to give you all a little insight, because Kane and I come at this a little different way. We got a history with Anheuser-Busch, right? Like, we're from St. Louis. We're from St. Louis. No one says farty far. But every country grammar is a thing. That is real. And I lived in downtown St. Louis, literally blocks away from the brewery. And on the summer nights, you'd be sitting outside and you could smell the barley in the air. Oh my gosh, there's nothing like it. And if it was, you know, if there was a home game, you'd see fireworks. If the Cards got a home run, if you weren't at the game. I mean, it's just amazing. You could see the arch, you know, from my second story window. We live in an old brownstone. And, you know, you have the Clydesdales. Yeah, I mean, it was just, you know. It's a Grant's Farm, I mean, all this stuff. InBev comes in, buys him out. Oh my gosh, St. Louis was ready to go to war. People never heard of these Belgians that ran this company before, but my gosh, they were ready to kick some A-double snakes out in the streets for that. That was, I mean, there were people who were dumping their beer before they got this dude and put his face on a can. But it makes sense now. I think about it. You know, that this guy who pretends to be a girl is a brand ambassador for some pea-colored water that pretends to be a beer. Makes sense, right? Makes sense. We still got a little bit of it. I'm right. You know I am. Fight me. All right. We got to get moving.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
Oh, my goodness. A crazed murderer with a hatchet attacked a Brazil preschool and killed four children. A 25-year-old man burst into a preschool in southern Brazil and killed four children with a hatchet on Wednesday before turning himself into police. It was condemned, obviously, as monstrous. He jumped a wall to get inside and also wounded four other children at the private preschool. It was in the state of Santa Catarina. And then he rode a motorcycle to a police station and handed himself in. I mean, oh my gosh. And they said that he struck his victims all between 5 and 7 years old. And he purposefully went to kill. They said he had at least four prior arrests, including for stabbing his stepfather. They said it wasn't coordinated. And they're still investigating it, but goodness. And violent school attacks have been increasing in Brazil in recent years. A week ago, a 13-year-old boy stabbed a teacher to death in Sao Paulo. And then there was a 16-year-old school shooter in November. So, you know, when you hear these stories that it's uniquely a United States problem, sadly, evil is everywhere, not just in the U.S. of A. A Michigan man. This is a really weird story. He was charged with assault, and the weapon was not what you'd think. It was a frozen fish. I mean, literally. A Michigan man was arrested for assaulting a grocery store with a 4-pound frozen fish during a dispute. It occurred at a grocery store in the Detroit metro area. And then afterwards, the clerk informed the man that the fish counter clerk told the guy the counter had closed at 7 because of Ramadan. And the suspect got angry, argued with the clerk, and then apparently hit them on the head with a 4-pound frozen Hilsa fish, a type of herring, said the prosecutor's office. So the victim had to be taken to the hospital. They didn't have an update on the victim's condition. And they did book one charged with one count of aggravated assault, a misdemeanor. The suspect, identified as Jabul Hussein, 60 years old. 60 years old, swinging that 4-pound fish. He posted $5,000 bond. Good heavens. And prayers for Johnny Lydon. His wife, Nora Foster, has passed away aged 80 after a years-long battle with Alzheimer's. Stay with us.
Want a behind-the-scenes look at The Dana Show? Subscribe to Dana's chapter and verse newsletter for a deeper dive in all things Dana at danalash.com.
I noticed some pretty big changes in the Democratic Party right when I got here, and it was very disturbing. I caught a lot of flack over the fact that on my car and on various things, I display the American flag, that I talk a lot about my importance and belief in my faith, and I've used Jesus several times when I've led our chamber in house prayer. I was told you can never trust a Dem who wears camo. And just this week, called an ammo sexual. The do support gun rights.
Ammo sexual. Good grief. You know, I'm telling you, this is the North Carolina state rep, Trisha Cotham. And she was talking about how she left the Democrat Party there. And she switched to the Republican Party, giving them a super majority, veto-proof majority. And she can't be recalled because there's no provision in the state law for that. So there you go. Well, that's what happens. Democrats sit here and they freak out about what they argue is some sort of intolerance that Republicans have, which is... No, this is a party that's so intolerant, they actually kneecap themselves in North Carolina. So she's joined the Republican Party. And this isn't a state that is, you know, this is an important, comes up to be an important state in presidential elections. Interesting. Veto-proof majority. Huh. I mean, this isn't entirely unusual. I mean, it's midterm, so it's not, you know, it's not entirely unusual, but it still is rare. But just very interesting. Very interesting. Switched parties. Look at that. Now they have this veto-proof majority. Democrats don't think a lot of the times understand just how much this is hurting them. They're just so pedal to the metal on satisfying some of the craziest aspects, demands of their base, but good heavens. All right, so a few things. Because I've got a number of things that I want to make sure that we're touching on this week. We've been talking about ongoing, the three-pronged attack, influence, unity, economy. In the United States, we've been hitting a lot of the woke stuff. Been hitting a lot of law and order and the breakdown of law and order. We've been hitting a lot as well on the energy aspect. We talked to Charles Payne a little earlier. I want to come and touch on some of the energy aspects of this. Because this headline came out the other day. Actually, this came out yesterday from Japanese media. China is considering banning the export of technologies used to produce high-performance rare earth magnets deployed in electric vehicles, wind turbine motors, and other things. They say, Kane, that it's a national security concern. That's, you know, this huge trend in what they call decarbonization, and everybody's using EV. Wow, it's like, let's go ahead and give China all the power. Because that's what this is. And let's give China all the power for things that aren't actually technically renewable resources. That's the other thing. They said that Beijing is in the process of revising its catalog of technologies prohibited and restricted from export. It's this huge list of manufacturing and other industrial technologies subject to export controls. They released the draft of it for public comment just last December. And then in the meantime, they also noted in the draft that the high-performance magnets using rare earth elements like neodymium and samarium cobalt, those have now been added to that export ban. So they're apparently going to adopt some revisions, but that's what they're looking at. Now, remember, the rare earth magnets, these are key components in these motors that use electricity and magnetic force to generate rotation. And in addition to EVs, they use them in military planes, industrial items like mobile phones, air conditioners, robots, things like that. And the use of these magnets is expected to increase with semiconductor and storage cells. So Japan's government is super concerned about this because this could be a very, very massive impact on magnet supply disruption, and it could affect a lot of economic activities. Now, this is what's crazier. Now, I want you to think about this in the terms of Joe Biden and Democrats pushing their Green New Agenda, right? Their Green New Deal. Because in California, what they want, like the majority of vehicles to be EV, that's something that Biden's been pushing for our own military vehicles to be EVs, et cetera, et cetera. There's one thing, and I want to separate these things out. All of my criticism and hatred of EV stems from it gives China all the control. I don't give a single flick about any kind of environmental concern. I really don't, because I don't think that it's environmentally better. I think that's a false argument. To that point, I also think that it's not a replenishing material, these rare earth elements that are required in the manufacturing of all these things. However, I totally like gadgets, and I don't throw any shade at people who like this stuff. I don't care. I mean, I think it's, you know, cool, then own it. But the idea that governments are going to force this transition when there's not even enough to supply everyone and it's not a replenishing material, that's a huge concern. And an even bigger concern is that China controls all of it. I mean, literally all of it. They're estimated to hold over 84% of the global market. and all this, all of the neodymium magnets, and an over 90% interest in the samarium cobalt magnets. And Japan, meanwhile, they got 15% on that magnet market. It's like maybe an 8% share of that cobalt. That's it. So here's the thing. If China decides, you know what, we're going to ban all the export of this, how is the U.S. and Europe, we do not manufacture these things, how that means we are wholly dependent upon China. See, nations don't have to be conquered with militaries. They can be conquered with finance and trade. Very easy. They've been threatening to do this for a long time. Do you realize that this remove the rare earth elements, the magnets and all of that from this equation and substitute in its place antibiotics? Same thing. Do you realize how much they control? I hate saying this, but when you, the one of the things that has always been a check on out of control Chinese tyranny, the Communist Party there, has been the strength of our dollar and our economy. We're losing that. Pretty amazing. And of course, China considers national security to cover everything. Society, culture, economy, information, resources, the supply chain, all of it. I'm just saying, very interesting. So this, that's why they say it's a national security issue, because they consider all these things to be a national security issue. So what are we doing in the meantime? I mean, what are we doing in the meantime? The EPA is proposing tighter pollution limits for coal plants. Latest from the Hill. The Biden administration is looking to tighten standards from coal-fired plants, as though it hasn't been tightened enough. The EPA said that they're proposing to strengthen restrictions under the mercury and air toxics standards for the first time in more than a decade. They, you know, by the way, do you know how I learned to hate the EPA? Ghostbusters. Remember Ghostbusters?
Yeah.
Remember that scene when that EPA agent comes and meets Dr. Peter Venkman? And he's asking him about how they store their ghosts? And he was this, you know, just needly-eyed, mean-looking dude. That is, he is literally the avatar for government bureaucracy. He goes in and he's sitting here telling these actual, this guy, this bureaucrat, going in and telling Dr. Peter Venkman and these scientists and engineers that he and the EPA know better about how to do their job than these guys who created it know it better than anybody else.
Back off, man. I'm a scientist.
I mean, all of them. That's why I learned to hate the EPA. I learned to dislike big government even as a child. Even with, my family were Democrats, but they were like old school Democrats, right? Like union Democrats, because they were all in auto unions or they were all minors. So they're all in the union. But that's how I learned to dislike big government and the EPA was Ghostbusters. And then he went down there and he shut it down. And Venkman's like, I'm not responsible for what happens. And then everything, I mean, then boom. Are you the gatekeeper? All of it. So the agency said they're going to update limits for pollutants, blah, blah, blah. They're going to increase mercury controls. It's everything is designed. All the green industry is nothing more. This whole green movement is nothing more than to kneecap all the other nations so that China can rise to power. That is the whole purpose of it. The Green New Deal, the green movement, is based on fake, faulty, ridiculous cult propaganda that masquerades as science, all to kneecap every other country so that China can ascend. That's the whole purpose of it. That's the only thing that it's for. And this administration's making money off of it. Pretty amazing. Our friend Larry, regular listener of the show, he lives out in Las Vegas. He sent us this piece from KTNV. So Clark County, Nevada is entering the community action phase of a plan aimed at addressing climate change impacts across southern Nevada. They are very concerned. They want a diverse and circular economy. He goes, it's literally a desert here. He's right. It's a desert. Like, what are you talking about? They said that they want... they're looking at all the visitors and blah, blah, blah. They said, oh, they want to look at drought conditions. It's a desert. Drought conditions, flash flooding. It's a desert. diverse and circular economy. What does that mean? What is that gobbledygook speak? What is that? Now, they said that the whole process dates back to October 2019. Clark County officials joined the County Climate Coalition. They wanted to uphold the goals of the dumb 2015 Paris Agreement. What is a diverse and circular economy? What does that sound like to you? I know. Science. We have Florida Man on the way. You don't want to miss. Oh, now everyone's, they're all now starting to show live streams of the Paris protesters. All the people rioting. The French are rioting. I know it's a day that ends in Y, but they're actually angrier over BlackRock and economic conditions and all of this than Americans are. I don't like to be out angered over big government by anybody else. That's our thing. And it's literally what we do.
It's his life mission to make bad decisions. It's time for Florida Man.
Man alive. Come on. All right. So a Florida man robbed a woman after threatening to hit her in the head with a big blue Bible. Sounds like a song almost. So this story, Action News checks. Jacksonville Sheriff's Office. Police were flagged down in the middle of the street. A woman told the officer that she had been robbed. She said a man approached her at a bus stop, demanded her bag, and threatened to hit her in the head with a big old blue Bible. He then snatched her bag and fled on foot. They located the suspect. They took him into custody. And that's, so it's very simple. You know, they were able to solve the issue. But I do think it's kind of funny, though, because I mean, he pulls out a big blue Bible. I'm going to pull out my big old black gun. And that's how that's going to work. I'm just saying, you know, we all play rock, paper, scissors, gun, right? And we play that. Oh, my gosh. A Florida man was caught with meth in his underbreeches. He led deputies on a chase. Escambia County Sheriff's Office. He was arrested and charged with multiple crimes. He was caught driving a stolen car, found with meth in his underwear after a traffic stop. Jarrell Stallworth. He was booked into the Escambia County Jail this week, charged with two counts of obstruction of justice, grand theft of a motor vehicle, escaped prisoner, that's the whole thing, possession of controlled substance with a prescription. So a deputy saw his blue Nissan Altima, and the tag was reportedly stolen. The deputy said they were waiting for additional units. Two dudes got in the car, drove away. Deputy tried to pull him over. They wouldn't stop. And then that's when the deputy saw the car jump the curb and then a man running south wearing a white T-shirt and dark pants. They tried to find him. Long story short, they were able to run him down. He was rearranging items in his backyard when they got him. And that's when they found in meth in his underwear pocket beneath his jimmies. I'm almost reading their arrest report verbatim. So there's that. They're always going to find it. Don't think that they're not. It's just not. It's messed up. A man was accused of stealing nearly $1 million worth of milk.
What? Can you do that?
Well, this is Florida, sir. Yes, you can. Florida man was accused of stealing nearly $1 million of milk. WFLA reports that a group of men were arrested. Police said they were involved in a dairy products theft ring. Are you serious? There's the bling ring for milk? They said $1 million worth of stolen items. All six suspects were employees of Island Dairy, a milk distributor, and they were arrested as a result of an investigation called Operation Got Milk. Wah, wah. They had a lot. I mean, it was $1 million worth of milk from MacArthur Dairy, and they would manipulate the ordering system, causing extra products to be loaded, and then they would deviate from their pre-assigned routes and meet with other people and transfer their hot milk to a delivery truck. That's a movie called Hot Milk right now. We did it. It's all ours. A Florida man tried to flee unsuccessfully from police, and before they tried to arrest him, he admitted, quote, I ate all the drugs. And then he ran into the woods. Yeah, they did get him. They totally got him. He had Mitchell Jones, 33. They tried to arrest him. He resisted. And then after they got him in handcuffs, he stated, quote, I ate all of the drugs. And then he yelled, get the bags out of me. Oh, he didn't even take them out of the bags. So, yeah, he got all kinds of charges, and he required emergency service. Stay with us. Third hour on the way.
One of the things that I think is actually quite fascinating about our position here in Chicago, we've been pushing this ordinance called Treatment Not Trauma. In essence, first responders, social workers, counselors, EMT, these individuals would show up to calls that require those type of interventions. In fact, in Chicago, almost 40% of the 911 calls are mental health crises. We're asking police officers to do their job and someone else's. Mm-hmm. Like, that's not strategic. In fact, 60% of the violence that happens in the city of Chicago, it occurs in 6% of the cities. And it should be a surprise.
Yeah, it's the same 1,400 repeat offenders that are doing all of this. That's according to the former superintendent of police chief there at the time. Oh, gosh. Welcome back to the program. Top of our third hour this Thursday. Dana Lash with you. That's the mayor-elect of Chicago, who's saying that we need social workers, counselors, and EMTs at crime scenes, not more police. And as Kane and I were saying, yeah, meanwhile, the social workers, counselors, and EMTs are going, shh, no, dude, no.
Shut up, dude.
Golly. That's not, I mean, I feel like this is like a Jeopardy answer. Yes, Alex, what is, how do you get more dead social workers, counselors, and EMTs? That is correct. 4,500, yes. Ding, ding, ding. Got a daily double. Just odd. We also were saying that, you know, if he wanted to, I'm just surprised he hasn't suggested sending James Taylor in. You know, that was John Kerry's favorite thing to do. Anytime anybody was arguing or fighting or terrorists were getting froggy, he literally would take James, Google it. He would take James Taylor. Because you got a friend. So, I told the guys, I said, you know, if you sing that song, you just call on my name in the bathroom in front of a mirror and the lights are off, he'll appear behind you.
No.
Mm-hmm.
No.
Try it and see.
Not interested.
Yeah, try it and see. See how that goes. He's gonna apparate behind you. No, but it, I don't know what they think this is going to do. You know what? You need more. It sounds like you need harsher penalties for the same people that keep doing the same crimes over and over again. It sounds like your deterrents aren't working because you have this horrible restorative justice system that's not doing nothing. That's what it sounds like. Can you imagine? I love the people who are like, we can't arm teachers in the schools. They just need to be able to teach. But yet, let's go ahead and send all the EMTs and social workers to the crime scenes to deal with the crime and violence. Let's go ahead. I mean, you realize how nuts that sounds, how it cancels the other out? No, not police. We don't need more police. Jeez. Just send James Taylor in. We totally can't put this on YouTube because they'll freak out.
It's not.
But we're playing the James Taylor song for those watching the simulcast. The dulcet tones of James Taylor to soothe the heart of any repeat offender. You know, when you need a helping hand, you just sing some James Taylor. Do it John Kerry style. I mean, I don't think it really worked really good on the terrorist, but, you know, who knows? I'm sure sending him into Chicago, that'll really help. Don't you think so, Kane?
Oh, sure.
Southside Chicago, send this guy out with his acoustic in the middle of a street.
That'll stop all the
That would stop all the crime right there. Just send James Taylor. That's all. I'm surprised no one's made like a parody superhero thing of this. Like as a joke. Because it was a joke, really. It should have been from the beginning. All right. So that's the Chicago mayor-elect. I don't think that's going to be very helpful. Really, really don't. Now, in the meantime, there are a number of things here. I'm looking at a couple of different stories. Because we've have all of the wokery that's been taking place. We've talked about the three-prong attack, really, ultimately, against, you know, United States national security and stabilization. There have been some pushback, though. Indiana signed into law a ban, pull this up, on experimental surgery for otherwise healthy minors. This is from the Free Beacon. Eric Holcomb, the governor there, signed this bill yesterday, banning pumping healthy kids full of hormones, experimental surgeries and procedures for minors, joining 12 other states that have passed similar measures. The move comes as red and blue states push in the supposing legislation, etc. It's called, Democrats have been pushing their own thing. But this particular bill, Senate Bill 480, it bans all of that. And there is also, and I just want to point out again, there's no long-term study about any of this hormonal abuse. It's not informed consent because you're not actually, people aren't actually informed. So that's, you know, that's a, that's an important thing. Now, here's where there are some losses. This is, I can't even read this headline. Oh boy. Kane, I can't even read this one, but we can at least probably put the graphic up in a simulcast in the screen. So there's a project from the coming out of the administration. Kane has seen it. He just saw it. It is a from the Washington Free Beacon. It's a project that wants to spend hundreds of thousands of taxpayer dollars to translate a book that is a self-described vocabulary of alphabet terms into Spanish. And it's the book is called Homosaurus, an international alphabet and linked data vocabulary. So it's the LGBTQ plus whatever. It's the National Endowment for the Humanities in January announced a $350,000 grant. It's going to see the University of Washington create a Spanish language version of the Homosaurus. Homosaurus. Okay. The dictionary features a dinosaur standing under a rainbow as its logo, defines hundreds of terms and phrases relating to all bunch of made up terms. The transgender intersex concepts, all this stuff. I can't even get into some of the stuff that they are wanting to translate. I can't because I can't talk about it. I'll totally probably get fined. It is incredibly inappropriate activities that some people might do in a romantical way.
Why do we care about that?
I don't know. Like, for instance, they're trying to figure out what is the Spanish word for indigiqueer? There isn't one.
Indigiqueer?
Yeah. That sounds like a, it almost sounds like a setting for your television.
Oh, the picture's brighter.
That was more colors. The rainbow. I don't know. They said, so that's a term, by the way, Kane.
Indigiqueer.
Indigiqueer.
All right.
It's used to It's used to describe the identity of people who are both indigenous and queer.
Oh, that's clever.
Indigiqueer, you know. So it's like J-Lo, you just, and like, and Bennifer, you just like mush different words together to create a new word?
Yeah.
Is that how it works?
That's science, Dana.
Is it science?
Science.
It's science. So indigiqueer. So what, I mean, you could, oh my gosh, guys, this is a whole article of stuff. I really can't even say half of the way. Well, like for instance, some of the, nope, can't say that.
Yeah.
Hang on. But our taxpayer dollars are paying for it. It's stuff that I wouldn't, I don't know, Kane, where to go with this. You know, are you looking what I'm looking at?
I'm
okay.
Looking,
yeah. We can't, right? That's the, that is the international audible symbol for, let me try this. Okay, go ahead.
Clear
try your best,
here.
Sir.
So apparently Homosaurus also includes terms that define minors under the age of 18.
Oh, no.
As.
Like their children. There's a kid.
I don't even want to say it.
No. Oh, my gosh.
Do you see what's happening?
Okay, well, I can say this one. They're trying to find the Spanish word for bear, which is not the animal.
No. This is kind of like, you know what the Urban Dictionary is? If people know what the Urban Dictionary is, this is like a version of the Urban Dictionary for LGBTQIA.
Yeah, it kind of is. It's a good way to put it.
A-S-Q.
Barbecue.
Group.
Don't forget that. BBQ. That's the most important letters that you can put together.
Favorite part of that group.
So they're trying to get the Spanish word for bear that is not to describe the animal, but a slang term used to describe a hairy and large or muscular gay man. Build-A-Bear. I think it's a whole new meaning. Just saying. So there you go. Yeah. I can't even believe that. And this is a grant that is doing that. A grant. So the database is maintained by the Digital Transgender Archive, which is the thing we have to have now. And it's a bunch of stuff that's just dumb, and I don't have any. This is all so goofy. Oh, my gosh.
Look, on my mom's side of the family, we're Mexican, right? So mm-hmm. very, I wouldn't even say religious necessarily, but very family-centrist.
Gosh, I really want to put a camera on you and have you go down to Matamoros and ask people in your family, like, oh. So what's the Spanish word for this?
They would laugh out loud.
Oh, my gosh.
They would laugh out loud. This is just I think it's an attempt to, remember the Latinx thing that they were trying
this
to
do? This is so much worse, though.
This is way worse than that. This is I think this was all by design and planned in advance to sort of just throw out piece by piece to the American people for the slow crawl of this stuff. And this is, I don't even know. It's like you said, some of the stuff on the air, we can't even say what's in this article.
Yeah, no, we can't. Now, as Easter approaches, I'm sure you've heard now that the administration, because with egg costs being so expensive, Axios is saying that there are some popular mom blogs that are publishing tips for making colorful Easter egg potatoes.
Potatoes?
Have you all seen a potato? You know how big these things are? And so the potato industry is very Easter potatoes.
Oh my gosh.
Oh my gosh, I'm full of jokes right now. None of them I can say. Not a one. So they said that it's actually a thing. So, and it's not just a meme. The joke actually came off of serious suggestions from people who are like, let's decorate potatoes. Yeah, potatoes. I just never wanted to actually boil the eggs and do that. I only did it a couple times with my kids because I don't want to eat all of those damn eggs. Not that, you know, I don't got nothing against it, but that's a lot of eggs, you know?
It is.
Golly. So, I mean, egg prices are falling, but, not by a lot. They're reducing a bit. You know, they got the plastic eggs that you can. So here in Texas, I don't know if they do this anywhere else. A friend of mine was telling me this. You know what they do here? This is a brilliant business idea. See a need, fill a need, or in this case, an Easter egg. They will literally come to your house for like $80 to $100, and they'll have pre-filled. They'll fill them yourself with what you want, plastic eggs, and they'll hide them around your yard for your kids. I mean, I'm of a mind, two minds about it. I'm like, wow, how lazy are you? And then the second one is, why did I think of this myself as a business idea? But then what happens if you don't find all those eggs, right? Like, you don't know where they're all hidden.
Can I be honest?
Yeah.
There was one. This was years and years ago. I'm going to say 12, 15 years ago.
You did
ago.
This, didn't you?
Here's how lazy I was on Easter Sunday. I didn't cut the grass on Saturday, just so Sunday I can just walk around the lawn and drop eggs.
That's so great. It worked, too, right? How tall was your grass?
I mowed it every week, but it was tall enough to was hiding eggs.
Yeah, it's hiding eggs height.
Yeah.
It's a whole new definition. Easter potatoes. No one's seriously doing this, right? No one's actually going to do Easter potatoes. I mean, you know, your kid can't carry more than a couple of them in a basket at the same time.
Right, and if a few potatoes aren't found, you're going to end up with potatoes every year.
This is how you get ants. You want ants? This is how you get them. All right, we got to move.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
This is funny. A dad accidentally put Guinness in his son's lunchbox, thinking it was sparkling water. The dad left parents in stitches because he confessed to the mistake after he rushed to his son's school to explain the mix-up to the kids' teachers. He said that he accidentally mixed up the Guinness with a can of the sparkling water. They did look kind of similar. One was called Liquid Death Sparkling Water. And then the other was a Guinness, and they were both black with gold lettering on it. And that's kind of funny. Also, let's see here. An asteroid the size of 90 elephants discovered speeding towards Earth by NASA. Yes, yes, yes. This could be the sweet meteor of death. A huge asteroid. NASA's tracking its journey, but they're only anticipating, sadly, a flyby. Coming up, why are the French angrier than Americans over the state of the economy? Stay with us.
Your one-stop shop for the information you need to fight back. If you're going to have to learn stuff, you might as well enjoy it. The Dana Show.
The French are burning it down. They're mad. They've taken to the streets. They've been on strike, many of them, a public strike. But protests have spread across the country. They are upset over a number of things. In fact, they're upset over the fact that they are trying to raise the age of retirement from 62 to 64. They're upset at BlackRock. In fact, they apparently took over a whole BlackRock office. I mean, it's pretty, I know the joke is, well, it's a day that ends in Y, so of course the French are going to, they're going to violently protest something, but it's way more than you think. And the fact that I made mention of this earlier, I said, well, why is it that they seem angrier than we do about everything that's coming with the economy? Why do they seem angrier? BlackRock apparently was trending on social media because of all of this, because of all these protests. I mean, they've stormed in. They took over one of the offices. They're accusing them of attempting a corporate takeover of France. So now they're burning. They set fire to one of the offices there. They stormed their headquarters. They've been posting all kinds of video about it. And that was at the BlackRock head office in Paris, where you saw some of the video on our simulcast. And I'll have other video for you as well if you subscribe to Chapter and Verse, our newsletter. Yeah, they stormed it, then they occupied it. And they said, we're here even if Macron doesn't like it, we are here. And they stormed, there's video of them storming the office, the offices of BlackRock. Those are pretty swanky offices, I gotta say. They ran in with torches, literal torches, and took over the office. They're not having it. I mean, why are they angry? I mean, this is like, we're supposed to be the protesters. But no, I will say, one of the things I think is, it's actually kind of funny, French protests, I mean, obviously, I don't need to tell you all of this. You remember, they're with the French Revolution, but they've got a history of this. They really, it's weird because for a country that has such high tax rates and everything else, and the socialism, there's certain things that they absolutely will not tolerate. I will go back, this is a Car and Driver piece, this is back in 2019. So they decided in France that they were going to put up some of these traffic cameras, right? And they put up their, the country was putting up all of these traffic cameras, about, there are 3,200 of them. And they were going to monitor speeding and issue tickets 24 hours a day. Well, then the protesters got mad. The French took to the streets and they wore bright yellow safety vests while they did it. They were protesting against the increased gas taxes and the traffic cameras. And they decide to just go to town on these cameras. They destroyed over 60% of them. Wow. They beat them into bits. They set them on fire. They just absolutely destroyed them. And they videotaped themselves and posted it online. It was amazing. They were spray painted, set on fire. And so that's how they, I mean, it was just pretty. They said that the French authorities said that they had to rely on cameras to issue speeding tickets in 2004. And they said they would occasionally pull motorists over, like is done in the United States. But apparently they wanted to increase some of the revenue from that. And so they were, it was that and the gas tax. Now with this, a lot of the agreements as keynotes that Macron signed up for on behalf of France, that's not what a lot of these people in the streets are. That's not what they went out to protest. They didn't go out there to protest. They didn't sign up for that when they went out and voted for him. When they voted for Macron, they didn't. Those who voted, that's not what they were going for. And then he signed up one thing after another, and now this new weird. I mean, it's weird because he's in China visiting with Xi Jinping and the head of the EU simultaneously while all of these people are rioting in France. They're mad at Macron. They're mad at the pension plan. They're mad at the increase in retirement age. And this has been, I'm trying to think how many weeks the public protest or the public strike has gone. Because everything's been closed from the Eiffel Tower to Versailles. Everything's been closed.
Says trade unions in France have been holding 11 days of strikes and demonstrations so far.
So they're trying to keep the pension system from going bust. So that's why they want to raise the retirement age. And they have the anti-pension reform protesters. Their favorite slogan is "We are here." And they took over the BlackRock building. They filled it with firecrackers. The whole nine yards. Tons of people out in the streets, all around in Paris. They're not having it. Pelting. They have apparently paint. They're little paintballs in Lyon as well. It's all over. It's not just in Paris. Don't think that it's just in one part of the city. It's all over the country. And they are not having it. Instead, they said that they're demanding that the unpopular pension reform be scrapped. And it's just, this is all going on while he's meeting with Xi Jinping. They had 400,000 people today in downtown Paris alone. Last week, it was 450,000. And the week before, it was fewer than that. It's growing week by week, by quite a bit. And so Macron has so far has kept pushing this. He keeps pushing this pension reform. But they have very good reason to point all of this out. I mean, this is they're complaining about BlackRock's involvement. I mean, ultimately, in French government and in all of French and France's economics. I mean, it's not just. I mean, it's amazing. I'm looking at some of the video. I mean, there's one thing that they do with good artistry. It is protest. I will say they're quite theatrical about it. Why are they angrier than we are? I feel like I'm asking like a reverse Tocqueville question. You know, when Tocqueville, after the French Revolution, he toured the United States and he was fascinated as to why their revolution was so much different from that of France's.
I think the knowledge of our financial system is what plays into this. I think Americans don't really know that much about it. I think the people in France do. I also blame our media as well, who are supposed to be the educators in these type of things, but they clearly are not.
Mm-hmm. Some people had said that one of the reasons, well, they think that it's because they do have so much government overreach that they feel it more acutely and more faster than we do here. I mean, they have just, they're angry because inflation, what is it? Their flat tax rate is 30%, 10% inflation. Wages are not at all keeping up.
And that flat tax, by that 30%, I guess the corporate rate or whatever you're talking about, is still more than China.
I mean, it's really interesting to watch this while Macron is entertaining Xi Jinping.
Did you see, I just put it in Slack about 8 minutes ago, this was reported, they're going after Macron's favorite restaurant in France. They have actually set it afire.
Oh, yeah, I see
right
it,
now.
Yeah.
Set it ablaze. That's
the Le Rotond Bistro, one of Macron's favorite restaurants, was torched by protesters. Then police did finally contain it, but yeah, it was torched as this symbol. But now some people are saying, now look, I understand sacking BlackRock, but when you're going after, I don't know, there's this, it's just something about it. There has to be a course correction. There has to be a course correction at some point. That's why I keep hitting this election coming up. This election is so incredibly important because I think if you have Democrats that take power again in 2024, the dollar's done. That's it. I'm not, you guys know me. Anyone who's listened to me for any period of time knows I do not engage in hyperbole. I don't like doom and gloom. I can't stand that stuff. And I think a lot of people ratchet it up to try to get clicks and to try to make headlines. And they think that that's the best way to grow themselves. And I just can't stand that stuff, as Kane notes. But I will tell you, dollar is done if Republicans don't secure Congress and the White House in 2024. No exaggeration. I mean, look at it. I mean, you already have France breaking. France has been one of our oldest ally. This is the country whose help was instrumental in our separation from the crown back during the day. And now they're embracing Chinese currency. They're engaging in a deal with LNG for liquid. They're entertaining all of this. The first, our longest, closest ally for so long. And we're in this absolute mess. But it's one of the three ways to just destabilize the United States, whether it's through the division of wokery, whether it is through energy, whether it is through the breakdown of law and order. Speaking of which, let me pull this up. Because I had a piece that I wanted to... This issue of Joe Biden and all of his... good heavens. Documents scattered across... How many different offices was this around?
Oh, gosh. I don't think we fully know.
Oh, my gosh. I mean... And he's being accused of having one, essentially, I mean, someone saying it was a Chinese agent that was helping to move some other documents. This promotion of one before the other in a court of law, the fact that there's no accountability for this. I mean, honestly, it's by design. That's why I think that this election is so incredibly important. Like for this, what is it? The Manhattan DA removed the text of the Trump indictment and statement of facts from their webpage?
Yeah. This morning.
Yeah, because they realized, well, I mean, what we're going to charge him with a crime based upon this crime, but we're not going to tell you this crime.
Right.
I mean, it's just as bad. We got tax hikes coming on other companies. We have EPA rules coming. We're going to have higher gas prices, which we're already starting to see now as a result of the Saudi squeeze and OPEC Plus's decision. You have, what was it? You're going to have this audio coming up for today in stupidity. They're trying to whitewash the way that they handled Afghanistan. I understand people's anger. They feel like anger is the closest thing they have to accountability. That's why 2024 is so important. I can't say it enough. It is so incredibly important. And people have to be focused on moving that ball down the field. They have to be focused on winning. I was looking at this piece coming out of the Hill, for instance. I know we got to get moving. So Lauren Boebert and her district, and I know Lauren Boebert. I've done a couple events with her. She's a very sweet individual. Adam Frisch is the Democrat challenger who almost beat her in midterm elections. I mean, he almost beat her. He's already outraising her. They're going to have a rematch. He's got his own baggage. But he's raised almost $2 million in the first quarter. And that's in just over a month. He's already launched his campaign. And, you know, they're coming from a district that is, you know, pretty purple. She's got to be in her district. She needs to be, you know, going out there and electioneering and talking to people in her district. Everyone wants to focus on the attractive federal stuff. And they want to focus on yelling about this, or they want to focus on personality. But as we saw in Wisconsin, and we're going to see this over and over again, you got to be on the ground doing the work, and you got to show up. 2024 is it.
Listen to The Dana Show live on the Odyssey app. Weekdays, noon to 3 p.m. Eastern Time.
People don't have an issue with the decision
to order troops out of Afghanistan. It is with the way that this president ordered it done. There were children being killed. There were people hanging off of Air Force jets that were leaving. And you're saying that you guys are proud of the way that this mission was conducted?
Proud of that? Proud of the fact that we got more than 124,000 people safely out of Afghanistan? You bet.
I can't even believe what I heard. That's insane. Good heavens. Welcome back to the program. Dana Lash here with you, John Kirby. It was great. They handled it wonderfully. Everything was handled wonderfully as part of his presser today. I don't really think that the service members killed would say so. The 13 service members, I don't think that they would say that it was handled really well. Or what about all of the Americans and allies that were left behind afterwards? I don't think that they would say that either. I mean, good grief. What is his damage? I mean, I understand that he's got to sit here and, you know, stand up for and defend the administration. But to this extent, it's just I mean, you're denying the horror that so many families had to endure with us. All right, today in stupidity, Kane.
It's John Kirby again. He's he was on gaslighting duty
today.
He's
two for two today.
Part of the gaslighting was apparently we didn't leave anything behind in Afghanistan. Did you know that?
Oh, we didn't.
Oh, listen to this.
Once you turn it over, it's just like what we're doing in Ukraine. We give Ukraine artillery ammunition, Stinger anti-air missiles, Javelin anti-tank. It's their stuff at that point, not the Americans. It's their stuff.
What is he talking about?
That stuff belonged to the Afghans. And so this idea, this argument is just ludicrous that we left millions of dollars of stuff in Afghanistan. We didn't.
Oh, my gosh. Seriously?
Unbelievable.
Yes,
you did. The gaslighting is strong.
Yes, you did. Folks, tomorrow is Good Friday, and I'll be back behind the mic with you tomorrow. Make sure you follow us at Facebook, YouTube, like and subscribe, and sign up for the newsletter over at Substack Chapter and Verse. Back with you tomorrow.